Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I am joined again today by our friends at Sirius Canine Fertility, Bridget Higginbotham, who is the owner, and Shannon Stone, who's the manager. And we are going to be talking about a pretty important topic in dog breeding. Today we're talking about stud dog management and how do you keep good junk. I'm telling you, this is good stuff to know. Okay, so let's hear what's our top five ways to maintain good, strong swimmers, good fertility, good motility, all of the things that we're trying to keep a viable stud dog going.
Gosh, top five things.
Start with reason number one.
Pick your breed wisely.
Pick your breed wisely. Good.
Yes.
Diet.
Diet. Okay. And we'll come back to all these. So let's just go through one and two. Pick your breed wisely. Diet.
Stress level on your dog.
Stress level, yes.
Stress level on your dog. Don't let them freeze anything.
Conditions. Exactly.
I was gonna say fitness levels, conditions.
Yeah, environmental conditions.
Yes. Yes.
That excessive one. Heat, excessive cold.
Yep.
Are they swimming in cold water?
Yep. Are they sitting on ice retrieving ducks?
Exactly.
Yep.
Five. What's number five?
Maintaining them around bitches. Breeding males around the environment.
Keeping breeding.
Too.
Yep. Okay. Healthy prostates.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. I think that's actually probably a really, really one that people don't think about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to number one. Breed. Pick your breed wisely. Explain. Expound.
There's some breeds. I think as a breeder, we get into a breed that we're drawn to by their looks, by their temperaments, personalities, you know, what fits our lifestyles.
Yep.
There's breeds known for being more reproductively sound than other breeds, better semen quality, and we see it every day, you know.
Yeah, an aloof breed that's not big on strangers, well, having a stranger walk up and grab their willy isn't usually high on their list of things they want to do that day.
Yes.
Probably not going to have good success that day.
And that's bashfulness or...
Exactly, shy temperaments, any of that can be...
A lot of toy breeds are very breed specific.
Yes.
Like when we try to collect them, you know, Cavaliers.
You can't use
toys.
A Mastiff for a teaser bitch?
Exactly.
We have, and it's pretty amusing. Yeah.
But, and I think a lot of people, we see a lot of it, as I'm sure a lot of repro facilities do. Somebody comes in with a stud dog with not so great semen quality, and they want to breed it to a bitch that's by a stud dog that she's out of a litter of one. You know, we need to think about...
Genetics plays a role.
Exactly.
Huge.
Are we propagating...
Dogs
bad?
Didn't.
Exactly. I mean, you have to breed for not only the standard, but also reproductive soundness. And, you know, if you have a breed that chronically has reproduction issues, there's a reason for that.
Think about that.
You know, think
maybe
about...
Maybe breed for fertility to bring some of that back in.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
so really focusing, find yourself a stud dog that can make more than two
exactly.
puppies.
Exactly.
If you're a bitch owner looking at stud dog A, who is the standard in your mind, but not so great semen quality, versus this
and he's
dog.
Three.
Yeah, and this dog has a lot of virtues that you really want to bring to your breeding program, and he's siring litters and, you know, good quality. Breed to that dog. He's going to bring a lot to the table. And this one's going to take a lot away from the table.
Interesting. Very, very, very interesting observation.
We all hear it all the time, too, of all the people, bitches and dogs. And I'll do it with my own, too. You'll go to any length. You know that dog doesn't have great semen, but you will go to any length to get semen from that dog. You keep doing that, and you're going to run into some issues down the road. You know,
okay.
Some fertility
and
issues.
And also applies, we think, to our bitches.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll do anything to get them to come into heat if they don't want to come into heat, or to get them to ovulate or to maintain a pregnancy.
Have more than one puppy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Meds can play a big role in some of this, too. Stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah. Luckily, stud dogs are a lot easier to track
if it's good or it's bad, you know, versus the
tend to be bred more frequently.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Right. One of the things too, not necessarily breed specific, although maybe a little bit along that, is so many people say, my dog won't collect well. Well, where are you trying to collect them? Well, I keep taking them into my vets, and well, maybe he doesn't like the vets. You know, they cut parts off. They do shots. They have smells in there. The dogs usually put the brakes on at the door. That's probably not going to be the best place to collect them. I tell people in that scenario, have the vet go outside. Try them outside, or maybe at your house, or, you know, in a facility like this. We're not a vet clinic, so it's a totally different scenario. The dogs come in happy. They're not worried about what's going to happen. So that's a thing to keep in mind as well.
That's a really, really valid point. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of my vets had what she called her breeding room, and she had cocapellis all around.
I love it. Moonlight.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so number two on that one, other than the breed specific, and certainly coming from Clumber Spaniels, low libido, mm-hmm. you know, so that's another thing I would assume you guys run into.
Yep.
Is there, other than genetically, do you have recommendations on things like low libido or low fertility or some of those things that, other than just breeding in a different direction or something? Diet. Our next thing on the agenda here was diet. Are there dietary supplements that can go to improving that, I guess?
There are. One of the ones you mentioned, Carol Platts earlier too, and he used a lot of the green lip muscle.
Green lip muscle.
That's a real popular one. It's not going to hurt them. You know, it was originally made for arthritis in dogs, and one of the things they found by giving it to the older dogs was that it firmed up the testes and increased libido, made better sperm in many cases, not all, but many. So, I mean, there's some things like that that are pretty benign that aren't going to hurt the dog that probably could be really beneficial. I tell the owners, handle them. Get them used to being handled.
Exactly.
To parts being touched, you know, taking them into places like this. For one thing, don't wait till you actually have to ship the semen and it has to be there tomorrow to take your stud dog in for his first time.
that is a perfect
idea. A practice run is a good idea.
Well, let's talk about this on multiple levels, not just a practice run of I'm going to touch your woozy, but the cleaning out the pipes. Yep. Can you speak to that topic?
We see a lot of dogs, you know, just that. They come in, we have a collection. We need to collect today, ship, be there tomorrow. We collect the dog. Numbers are great. Morphology, which is the defects, is really high. When was the last time the dog's been collected, bred? You know, those are the questions we ask. Well, he hasn't had a litter in 3 years. He hasn't been used in 3 years. So, yeah, we always recommend, if you know you have something coming up, obviously you don't want to collect them every day because... Those numbers
the
are going
to
go down.
That's also bad.
Okay, so that's your recommendation. Say you have a bitch owner that's contacted you. You're going to be doing this breeding. You know you're going to be doing a collection to ship, say, fresh chilled.
Mm-hmm.
How long before the collection do you recommend that the dog be, if you will, cleaned out so that the numbers will then be back to a good level?
You know, if you have a dog in his prime and a bigger breed dog, you know, where you would expect... a billion count, you know, 800 million up to a billion or higher. You know, if you have a bitch owner contact you, take him in. Get a clean out. Get a semen analysis done. If he hasn't been bred in a while, you want to tell that bitch owner, yes, we are able to do this, or maybe you should have a plan B.
Right.
And good stud dog management is having a routine. If you're going to offer him at stud, have routine semen analysis done so you can show a report. I had him done 6 months ago. Look, you know, things are good. The dog's used to being collected. And it's terrible when they come in. The dog's never been touched. And the bitch is at a 25 and needs semen tomorrow. That's a really tough scenario.
A lot of people don't realize when collecting stud dogs is a lot of collecting a dog is psychological with them.
Absolutely.
They can go through the motions, but you may not get a complete collection.
Some breeds will look horrible too, just because they can.
You know, sort of like, yay, honey, I have a headache.
Exactly.
Well, and you know what we found too is some dogs watch the handler, the body language with the dog and the handler or the owner. If the owner for 3 years has said, no, don't sniff, don't do anything, don't hump, and it's no, 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 the dog's looking at you like, is this a trick?
This is
not happening.
And I think that's a really great point, Bridget, and I have heard other, you know, long-time old-school breeders say that. When you have a stud dog, his job is to make babies.
Right.
And so... reprimanding him for doing what would be just sort of a natural thing for him is counterproductive.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Some people use a special room, or what I prefer is a special mat.
A mat, exactly.
A bath mat. Yep. When that comes out, it's showtime. You know, otherwise you can't hump the cat. But if if we have the mat out here, it's okay, you know. Things like that, because you can take that with you anywhere. Right. And that some dogs that are well trained with that, I mean, it's really handy. Yep. It's really handy.
Yeah, it's all conditioning. You know, and that doesn't mean that you're going to go to a show and they're going to try to breed every bitch that's there. You train them, just like you train them for the show ring. You train them to be a healthy stud dog.
And I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we have dogs come in here and we'll walk in that collecting stall and the owner will say, you know, he reaches to sniff the bitch and the owner will say no.
Or they're pulling him back. Yeah. You know,
that word is not allowed in here. Easy or, you know, let's just redirect it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, nothing is ever negative.
Mm-mm.
And that is a huge detriment. And also, who collects your dog for the first time?
Yes.
Don't let your next door neighbor, just because they may have tried it once, because you can ruin
can
a dog
injure
for
the
life.
Dog.
Yeah.
You can break a penis.
Really
there's a bone in there. And that's not a good thing for the dog.
Yeah, you want it to be a good
trained
experience.
Professional.
Yes.
Exactly.
Trained professional is always a struggle.
Teaser bitches are great to have on hand. It just really helps the dog. We never force the dog. And if we get someone who brings a dog in and he's not having any part, it doesn't matter how badly you need to see him. We're not going to injure the dog or mess with him, you know, mess with his head and try to push him into this. So it has to be on their terms.
We had a little dog come in last week. It was Bridget's day off. He had been collected before somewhere else and had a really bad experience. She brought him in here, trying to do a collect and freeze, and I knew from the get-go it wasn't happening. We sat in there for 30 minutes, just letting him play with the teaser, and letting me reach down and touch him and play with him. The first 10 minutes, he jumped away from me and ran away, you know, hid behind mom's leg. Pretty soon, he was actually almost to the point where we could have gotten a collection, but we didn't push it.
Yeah.
We just said, you know, we've made progress today. He's walking out like he's the biggest stud on earth. He thinks he's King Kong, and you know, bring him back in another week. He'll come in here with a totally different attitude.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's very important.
I think that's excellent advice. And so your breed, your genetics, your diet, how you handle them as a stud dog. And let's talk about some of the things that can go wrong. What happens? You get your dog in here, you get a collection, use the collection from yesterday that we brought you, that you've got a dog that hasn't been collected in a while, and maybe you have some old blood in the sample.
Yep. We see it a lot with dogs that live with breeding bitches or travel with breeding bitches. They're around bitches in heat. Mm-hmm. They're not being used. They're not being collected. Prostate flares up, and dogs are stoic. You know, a lot of times we don't even know there's an issue going on with the stud dog. We collect him, and there's blood in the sample. It's not always a bad thing. Blood does not kill sperm, but it is indicative that there's an issue going on. Like the one Laura mentioned from yesterday, it was kind of a root beer color, which means it's older prostatic blood. So the dog was probably around bitches in heat. Frustration level wasn't collected. A lot of times if you have a dog around bitches in heat, go ahead and collect them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just
it's actually good management for them.
Exactly.
Okay. Good.
Better to relieve it than let it sit there and stew.
Testosterone builds up, you collect them and bring it right back
bring it down.
So, and you have a happy dog on your hands.
So very happy and relaxed.
A healthy prostate.
We get many at the shows that people come by for an attitude adjustment because maybe the dog's really flared up because there's a lot of bitches in heat.
Yep. And that brings it down. I know I know people who are concerned that that'll just heighten the excitement.
Not most of the time.
Just the opposite, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Very, very good. Okay, and so then let's talk about, again, a case study. The elements. Environment. Let's talk about that duck dog that's sitting on ice for six hours swimming in frozen water. Let's talk about what that does to the junk.
I think it's important to remember testicles, by nature, they're on the outside of the body for temperature control. And the dog, watch the dog. They get uncomfortable when you start getting cold water or even hot water. So you have to be really careful of that. Human men can make themselves sterile by sitting in a hot tub too often. You know, it's temperature can be really important. We groom dogs sometimes at the dog show. We're using really cold water and we're giving the dog a bath, sometimes a couple times a day. We're then taking blow dryers, sometimes hot air.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things can really wreak havoc on fertility. The field dog, you know, those guys that are out there swimming in frozen ponds and streams and, you know, we'll have them come in and you'll see a lot of coiled tails and sperm cells that are evident of some sort of temperature situation. A couple of things we've seen that were interesting that the people didn't even think to mention, but the dog had a favorite spot where he'd lay in a hammock bed directly over the heater vent. Well, the hot air was constantly blowing on him, and, you know, that caused some problems.
Okay, so what are the kinds of problems that they're going to see? If you're talking about environmental issues and you're managing your stud dog properly, what do you want to, besides, you know, avoid the extreme temperatures, but what are you going to see as a result of having been exposed to those extreme temperatures?
Usually morphology, morphological defects in the sperm cells, a lot of coiled tails, a lot of times, sometimes some detached heads. But yeah, a lot of times you're going to see those types of things. You're going to have the defects that you're looking at.
Okay.
So that's...
I had a case in point.
There you go.
I had a young corgi male, brought him to Bridget, collected him, and his defect load was really, really high. 2.5-year-old dog. Should have been in a perfect world.
Oh, those collections, yes.
And we got talking about it. She asked me, you know, well, does he play, you know, in the water? Does he swim a lot? Does he lay on, you know,
hot concrete stretched out?
And we finally got to the hot cement. Yes. I have a pad out by the motorhome. He would go sunbake. He'd lay all sprawled out with his testicles flat on that hot cement. So about, 6 weeks, I think we waited, you know, a couple months, and kept him off that, brought him in, collected, and...
Anyway,
I mean, like a 360-degree turnaround.
Excellent.
But it can be something very subtle like that. Yeah. So we tell the owners, look for those types of things that maybe you're not even aware of.
Right. You would never think of.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so that's sort of an external thing. And then we can also talk about infections. Speak about mycoplasm and
brucellosis.
Give us some thoughts on this from stud dog management perspective. How do you avoid it? How do you deal with it if you run into it? What's your protocol here?
Going back to the stud dog management, the one aspect is routine brucellosis.
You know, we all kind of got lazy because we haven't seen it in forever, but it's out there and it's making a comeback.
Yep.
And it's zoonotic. You don't want it.
And explain for people who don't know, who haven't, you know, been around for a long time, what actually happens with brucellosis and what that means for your world.
Brucellosis, I mean, it can render them sterile. There are some states, I believe Iowa still does it. It was a no questions asked. If the dog tested positive, even if it was a false positive for brucellosis, they would put the dog down.
Yeah.
It's that serious. It is zoonotic. People can get it.
Yeah.
It can render an entire kennel sterile. The thing about brucellosis that people don't understand is there's a lot of ways to contact it.
Not just a sexually transmitted disease.
They say, he hasn't bred anybody, but he goes to a dog show every weekend, so he could be exposed. He's in here. So there's places that, you know, that they can be exposed to it. So it's something good stud dog management, have that tested. You know, and routinely. It's a simple blood test. How often do you test? Well, how often are you breeding the dog? You know, that kind of thing. But also for the dog's health, you probably would want to, you know, 6 months to a year probably be the recommendation.
Excellent.
So,
okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter whether you're doing live covers or frozen breedings. You know, it's still, because freezing does not kill
brucellosis.
So you brucellosis test before every freezing.
I do recommend it,
We recommend that,
Most countries, if you're, I know we'll talk about exporting in another segment, but most countries want to see some negative, because you can bring that over in the semen.
Right.
They want to see that there's a negative brucellosis on file.
But that's what are some of the, then, bacterial, in addition to the brucellosis, some of the other, perhaps not quite as life-threatening, but equally serious for your stud dogs?
You know, any infection can get, you know, left, if you get a dog exposed to something, whether it's mycoplasma, it's whatever kind of infection that they've been exposed to, and then you take them on a show circuit and you show them a lot and they're being stressed and there's any kind of immune situation, it can get out of hand really quickly. Mycoplasmas are, most animals will have some sort of a mycoplasma, but it doesn't become a problem until it gets out of control. The immune system, you know, becomes compromised for whatever reason, and they can run rampant. So that's when it becomes...
And what are you, again, what is going to be the result? What are they going to see in their collection when that's an issue?
Sperm counts go down, abnormalities in their morphology, in the sperm cells, same types of things. That's generally, like, they'll do a collection, and when you're looking at the sperm, you're going to look at the count and go, he's a Labrador. We should be seeing a billion or more. He's got 300 million. What's going on here? And then you're going to look at the types of cells that are the morphology, and maybe he's got a lot of coil. a lot of detached heads, bent tails. You're going to be wondering at that point, you're going to start asking questions, depending on the types of defects that you're seeing, looking for some sort of a history, what's going on, and then kind of help, you know.
And what kind of histories are you going to see?
Well, he loves to swim. I mean, we've had everything from...
Pond swimmers.
Oh, yeah, pond swimmers.
They're the big ones.
We had one that, I mean, for a while, we actually tracked this one down, and what's going on? Why do we have all these defects in the semen? I don't know, and he's well cared for. And after quite a while of going on with this dog, it turns out, she says, well, I've been giving him grass savers so that he doesn't stain the lawn when he pees. Bingo. I mean, so it's things like that that they hadn't even thought about, but that type of thing will change the pH of the entire system.
Yeah,
and not a problem. So, but that, and I had been looking at it in the semen going, it's not getting better. Antibiotic, it's not an infection. It's, what are you doing here? And those things definitely, we had another one that was swimming in a pool. He loved to drink chlorinated water. That was his water bowl. And he would go every day, and that's where he drank, was out of the pool. Those types of things can be really, really important.
Yeah.
So, but people don't think about it.
Right. So this is, we're trying to kind of put some of this out there. Think about these things, you know, when you're looking ahead to your stud dog.
Exactly.
And you mentioned just now, and this was another one of our 5 points, stress.
Mm-hmm. Huge. Huge.
Huge.
Again, some breeds, I mean, if they're being campaigned a lot, then there's, you know, they're athletes.
Right.
Take an Olympic athlete. The first thing that goes is their fertility. Mm-hmm. Women stop cycling, you know. So now we take show bitches out or stud dogs, and we want it all. You know, and it's tough. So those are things to keep in mind. Try to moderation if you can.
So, and a perfect example, here's another case study for you. So your case study is you bring the dog for a fresh chilled collection, move it from its co-owner to the breeder who's going to, and they take it and they do the fresh chilled collection, and then they have it for a few weeks and they send it home, and the fresh chilled collection doesn't work. And so they say, oh, get us a frozen collection. We'll do it next time. So you bring it back for the frozen collection. They're like, yeah, there's nothing there. Talk about that one.
Been there, done that.
This is a real life actual case study, so.
Those are tough ones.
And then you're thinking at that point, you're thinking about stress.
Did you take it from, it was in a pet home, it's sleeping on the couch, and it's their baby, and the whole world is about them now. Mm-hmm. Just went into a kennel. There's barking dogs, it's very stressed, it's maybe not used to coffee, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things that can definitely impact it at that point. We also, there is, most dogs can do it, but there are some breeds that are notorious for just withholding the sperm. Maybe they don't like you.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe they are stressed. Maybe the teaser bitch isn't quite up to their liking. Akitas are famous for that.
Yes.
You know, you will collect them one day and you get 3 billion and you're like, yay! Next day they come in and they go, nah, you better get me another teaser. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you
a giant ball.
Yeah, here's 4 sperms. See what you can do with that. I mean, there's some, and you get a different teaser bitch, we're back on. So, you know, it's kind of having enough dog sense, too, to kind of figure out what's going on here.
And I think, you know, we can talk a little bit about how to manage that, but realistically, if you have a stud dog that is not going to live with you full-time, okay, you're going to maybe retire show dog, what have you, place it, send it off to a pet home. If it's not in your physical possession, your recommendation is get it frozen before it leaves?
That's something a lot of people don't understand. If I own a dog, and I show him, and I campaign him, and do all that, and I have a bunch of semen frozen on him while I own him, and then after he finishes, I sell him to you. Mm-hmm. I sign off, he's now your dog. Semen doesn't go with the dog. The semen stays mine. It's still mine. It's whoever owned the dog at the time of the semen collection. Now, there's things, I can sign a transfer of ownership and give some to Shannon or whatever, but that's what we recommend to people. If you're going to do something like that, you know, collect the heck out of him, get all the frozen that you're going to want, get it when he's young, you know, when there's not a lot of stress going on there, not a lot of environmental factors going on, and keep it. It's better to collect it when he's young. If he doesn't turn out like you want, you can always throw it out later. You can't do the other.
You can't get it if it's too late.
Exactly. So those are good things to tell.
And talk about, too, a little bit, and I know from my personal experience, but I want to hear your guys. How long are you seeing the frozen semen being viable?
Got puppies out of 37-year-old frozen semen.
Yeah.
So my own dog's sitting in tank number one over there, and it's, you know, 25 years old or something, so...
Yeah, when I collect my dogs, I want it in tank one.
Yeah. You always wanted to take one with my dog. It's the first one to go out in a fire.
Yeah. Fire, you grab tank one.
That's day one training.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a reason that we're in our reproductive prime when we're young.
Yes.
Same with dogs, you know.
healthy organs, mm-hmm. healthy sperm, healthy eggs. As everything ages, everything declines.
Yes, it does.
And we've done kind of a little in-house study of our own on DE, diatomaceous earth. I don't even really know what started it.
I think a client came in with a dog and we collected it and went, like, what the heck are you doing yeah. here? It was ridiculous yeah. kennel.
It was really good.
Oh, it was incredible.
Yeah. Off the wall. And he was
for a breed that should not have, an old dog in a breed that should not have had a sperm count like that. And we went,
wow, okay.
So we went through the whole, you know, what are you feeding him? Any supplements? And she goes, yeah, I just feed him this. And he gets his DE. And we're like, our ears went up, you know, DE? You know, diatomaceous earth. Well, you know, it's a silica, you know, it's a natural parasite control, flushes toxins. So Bridget tried it on her bulldog. I tried it on a couple of my dogs. And we started bringing them in every 30 days, collecting them. And we noticed the sperm counts just skyrocketing. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yes.
And at a particular dosage level?
It's size specific.
Right, but is it more or less?
Corgi size, like I give mine about a teaspoon a day.
Right, so I mean, I've used it for worming in different times, right? Mm-hmm. So is it the same amount that you use in a worming?
Mm-hmm. It's just a every day.
A little bit.
Every day. Like an 80-pound dog is about a tablespoon. Mm-hmm. Stardom.
And it's cheap.
Very.
Ridiculously cheap. You can get a 50-pound bag off Amazon for like $12.
Yeah, ridiculously cheap.
So we actually started several different breeds on it here. We asked our clients, you know, can we try, you know, put him on
the
this?
Guinea pig thing we're talking about.
We wanted different breeds, different ages, and across the board, we saw increased sperm counts.
That is insane.
It didn't really help the morphology.
Yeah.
Right, so if you've got something that's environment or infection or what have you, but it is increasing numbers.
Well, that's what collecting semen is. It's a balancing act. Mm-hmm. If you have low numbers and high defects, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. If you have a 4 billion count and you have 50% defects, you're still down to 2 billion. Mm-hmm. You know, so you want that balancing act. You know, if you have a high defect load, you better get your numbers up.
Right.
If you can't fix what's causing the defects, absolutely.
Exactly. So the DE has been, it's a cheap, really inexpensive way, and it's not going to hurt them. It's better for them.
It's good for them.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to start them on a half dose, though.
For how long?
About a week. Because if they do have any internal parasites, it can get them a little crampy. Mm-hmm. And then, like, my 80-pound dogs or above, they get a tablespoon. Everything else gets about a teaspoon. I've taken it myself, so no taste.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
I just mix a little bit of yogurt or cottage cheese or something, and... Yeah.
Fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah. Absolutely fascinating. Yeah. And you've been doing this over the course of how long now?
A couple of years.
And actually, if they go to our website or our Sirius page, our Facebook page.
Right. And we'll provide links for you guys in the show notes.
You can see videos of, I think, three different stages of Bridget's own bulldog semen. We videoed it on there. So.
Oh, excellent.
We've played with that and we've played with doing raw food. Taking a dog that's got some abnormalities and we can't get those under control. And I'm talking about not drugging them, not keeping them on high levels of antibiotics. Right. And switched them over to a completely raw food. Mm-hmm. Defects cleared out. Yeah. So would that work on every dog? I don't know, but it worked on him. You know, so those are things that we like to play with and see if we can bring them around.
Right. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've about used up our time on stud dog management. This has been awesome. This has been very, very good. So thank you very much for joining us.
Nice.
And I hope you folks will come back next week and we're going to be talking some more with these fabulous ladies. Thank you so much.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.